I believe that planning goes into everything that's important in our life. If you think about it, everything that is really important, it usually involves planning. That also includes love. It also includes marriage. But it doesn't always work out exactly the way we plan. If you've been following along, you know that we've been studying Ruth and Naomi. If you haven't been able to be here, let me just touch on a couple of the main points of the story leading up to this. Naomi was from Bethlehem, and she left her home and she went to Moab, and she was married and she had two sons, and as soon as she got to Moab, it was a very short span of time, she loses her husband and she loses her two sons, and she's left with no one but her daughters-in-law. And one of her daughters-in-law goes back to live with her mom, and the one that is left is Ruth. Ruth is from Moab, and she is clinging on to her mother-in-law, and she promises she's going to stay with her to the very end. And so they go back. The famine was lifted. God was blessing again. So Naomi goes back to her hometown, Bethlehem, and it just happens that when she gets there, it's the barley harvest. And this gives Ruth an opportunity to support her and her mother-in-law. So she went out with all the poor people, and she was able to pick up the kernels of wheat that were on the ground that were left over. And it just happened to be that while she was out there, that the owner of that field, Boaz, arrives and takes special notice of her. She catches his attention for some reason, and he decides he's going to show her special kindnesses. And he offers her a meal and makes sure that she gets extra things, and she goes back to her mother-in-law, loaded down with grain, and God is blessing. God is taking care of these two widows in this very difficult time. That's where we left it. But I don't want to be a downer, but this is not yet a full-blown romance. See, Boaz is a much older man here, and Ruth is a young widow, and Boaz has not yet made any romantic gestures. All he's done is he's been kind. He's been extra kind to Ruth, and he's been extra kind to her mother-in-law. Now, he does have a special interest in Ruth, and it could even be a romantic interest, but so far, it's not his place, because she's much younger than him, and there were younger men that were available also. But Naomi, she has a plan. Now, you might have thought that Naomi was out of the story. No. She's the mother-in-law, and she's not out of the story yet. So one day, she comes to Ruth, and she says, "My daughter, I must find you a home where you will be provided for." Now, please understand, she's not just being a nosy matchmaker here, okay? But I do understand that matchmaking is involved in romance. So we have Patricia and Junior. From what I understand, and I've got it firsthand from both people, Patricia was singing in a choir, and the choir members saw her and said, "Huh, do you know there's a guy named Junior? He works for Ralph." Ralph said, "Yep, he works for me. I think they would make a good couple." So unknown to Patricia, they got together and planned an outing. And so they didn't tell anything about it. And then they said, "By the way, we'd like you to come with us to go out to eat, right? And Junior's going to be there." Just mentioned he was going to be there. And then they went to Junior and said, "Junior, come on out to eat with us." And so they all went out to eat in one vehicle.
One vehicle, Volkswagen van.
They packed into this Volkswagen van, and they went out to eat. And they all sat down together for a meal. That's how it all got started right there, matchmakers. And their first big meal together was
spaghetti.
Spaghetti. Now, I'm not saying there's not matchmakers out there. There are matchmakers out there. But Naomi is not a matchmaker, as we would define it. Naomi is someone in that culture. In that culture, parents arrange marriages. And Ruth didn't have anybody. So she needed somebody to help take care of her, and that's what Naomi saw her role as. And so she is looking out, and she says, remember Boaz, whose women you work with? Well, he's a relative of ours, and I think he would be good husband material. Now, please understand, Naomi is thinking in pure terms of his ability to provide. His spiritual, he's a well-known, spiritually mature person. He has the ability to provide, and those are the main things, and could make a good family for Ruth. Those are the main things that she's thinking about for her safety, her security. And one of the main purposes of marriage is providing a family, but we're not going to get ahead of ourselves on this yet. So she says, tonight, there's a big ball. There's lots of dancing, there's horse-drawn carriages. I'm sorry, not really. That's the Disney version. Naomi says, tonight they will be threshing barley. Basically, this was a level area on a smooth rock. The wheat was thrown into the air. The chaff was blown away. The kernels would land on the floor and they would be picked up. This must have been harvest time. They were going to be drinking and eating, and Naomi says Boaz is going to be there. And the plan continues. She says, wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Now we're getting serious. Yes. This has been going on a long time, Chandler. It's been going on a long time here. Just remember that now. Ruth is poor. She might have had just like one outfit to wear. That's all she had. But the word used here is a description of a bride's preparation. Naomi says, beautify yourself and go down to the threshing floor. Now, doesn't this sound romantic? Go down to the threshing floor here. She says, and don't let him know you're there. Wait until he's done working. Wait until he's finished eating and drinking. You'll notice where he lies down. And then go, uncover his feet, and lay on his feet, and wait until he wakes up, and he will tell you what to do. That's the plan. Doesn't that sound like a Hallmark movie? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, now to get the full effect of exactly what's happening here, we have to understand the culture. In that culture, this is how a woman approached a man who was her kinsman redeemer, the one who could marry her if her husband died. This is Ruth's way to let Boaz know, I want you to marry me. So Naomi comes up with a plan. Let me pause a second here. Women have been coming up with plans. Keep this in mind, Chandler. Women have been making plans for quite a long, long time. And they talk to each other, and they talk to mothers and mothers-in-laws and grandmas. How can I let him know that I want to marry him? How can I get him to love me? How can I understand him? Women, do you understand us?
No.
Okay. Lots of conversations have been going on. Lots of plans have been made over the years. And you know, really, God has given the older generation as a resource to the younger generation. The younger generation should be talking to the older generation about things like love and romance and marriages, but they don't, but they should. Ruth has great humility. When Naomi tells her what to do, Ruth says, I will do whatever you say. See, God has set it up to where, and I consider myself still younger, thank you. Anyway, I realize as I look out, the older generation, much older than me, that I see a treasure. These folks are treasures that can help me. And if we would just go to the older generation, they've already lived it. They've already been down that road. And to the older generation, you may say, well, nobody ever comes to me and talks to me about things. Well, it goes both ways. You can't be overbearing. You have to be patient. You have to be loving. And maybe if you're patient and loving, maybe somebody will come to you. Anyway, we've got to get back to our story here. Ruth does what Naomi directs, and there was eating and there was drinking, and it was a great time. And it doesn't say that Boaz got drunk. Don't read that into this, but he's in a happy mood. He lays down at the end of a grain pile, and he falls asleep. And remember, there was no security fences, and there was no security cameras. They didn't have anything like that. They just had to lay with their grain for security purposes. And Boaz paid people to guard his harvest here, but here he is laying with his harvest, guarding it himself. And at the same time, Ruth quietly approaches Boaz, uncovers his feet, and lays down, and it's midnight. So Boaz wakes up, and he finds a woman laying at his feet. You can't make this stuff up. It's right in the Bible. He doesn't recognize her. Who are you? She says, I am your servant, Ruth. She explains, spread the garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. This is her way of asking for the protection of marriage. So let's see what Boaz says. This is in Ruth chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Now remember, as I told you, this is not a flaming romance yet. See, Boaz is completely surprised here. This is completely unexpected. Why was he surprised? Because of the age difference. And Boaz is very flattered here. And there were apparently younger men that were also available, and she's a younger widow. There were other men who would have loved to take care of her. It could have happened, but Naomi thought that Boaz was the one. I don't know about you, but I think I could have done a lot better had my father done the picking for me. Really, for me, honestly. But we're missing that. We don't do that today. There's no prearranged marriages. So what was Boaz's answer? He says, my daughter, I will do all you have asked. What's the basis for his decision? Was it her looks? Was it her body? Was it her personality? Was it the love connection? Oh no, none of these. Boaz gives the reason. All the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Does the word noble sound familiar? It comes from that famous chapter of the godly woman. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, a wife of noble character, who can find? Other translations say virtuous woman or excellent woman. But the same word, ironically enough, is used to describe Boaz. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, which says he was a man of standing. See, Ruth stands out because of her virtue. And the people in town could see what kind of woman she was. Now, both Boaz and Ruth were godly people. Don't misunderstand. Don't think that there was anything inappropriate that happened in this area here. These are honorable people. These are people that fear and honor God. Nothing inappropriate is happening here. Now, this is the point in the story where everything looks perfect, okay? It looks like there's going to be a happy ending. If this was a movie, this would be a couple embraced in each other's arms. Starlight would be twinkling in their eyes. And you would say, "Ah, this is a great show." And you say, "Wait a minute. Look at my watch. This can't be over yet." You would be exactly right. Because in most romances, there is a glitch. There is a however. There is a but. And this is the point in which we learn that there is a glitch here. Usually in most romances, I've had to watch a few of these, by the way, there's always another man or woman that's interested. You know, he's better looking. He has more money. The bride's parents like him better. You know what I'm talking about, you know. But usually he's obnoxious and nobody likes him, you know. Well, that's not exactly what's happening here, but there is some parallels to what I'm talking about here. So let's look at what happens here in Ruth chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "Although it's true that I'm a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as the guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So what's the barrier? Boaz says, "It's true, I'm the kinsman redeemer of our family, but that there's somebody else who's more closely related." That was the key to understand the Jewish culture. The law said the one that was most closely related had the first opportunity. So Naomi probably knew this. She knew her family very well. So why didn't he send Ruth to him? We don't know. But we do know that Naomi believed in Boaz and that he was the best choice. So Boaz tells Ruth, "Stay here for the rest of the night, and I will go find him. And if he wants to be the guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you." Now, wait. I'll stop right there. That's not what he's supposed to say. This kind of ruins the romantic mood here, okay? What's supposed to happen here? I'm going to write this today. What would happen today? Boaz would go, "Till the end of time, long as stars are in the blue, long as there's spring of birds to sing, I'll go on loving you." Right? That's what would usually happen. But no, what Boaz says, if he can do it, good. But listen to the rest. "But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it." Now, before you get too tough on Boaz, he's honorable. He's going by the book. He cares about right and wrong. He cares about honoring Jewish traditions of his nation. He believes in doing marriage right. This, ladies, is a keeper. This guy's a keeper right here. And I'm reading between the lines. I think he loves Ruth, but I think he wants to follow God. His obedience to God guides everything he does and how he treats other people. But he's protecting Ruth. He tells her to leave before daybreak so nothing could be said against her character. And ever generous, he sends Ruth home with a shawl full of grain as a gift, and maybe out of appreciation to Naomi. But Naomi had a plan. This is how it's supposed to work. And it seemed like a good plan. And now there's a question. And I'm sure that Ruth was sad. Just when it seemed like it would work out, there was a problem. And I'm sure that Ruth went back to her mother-in-law downhearted. Was she going to have to marry a guy she didn't even know? She wasn't sure. Well, let's look at what Naomi tells her. This is in verses 16 through 18. "When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, 'How did it go, my daughter?' Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, 'He gave me 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Naomi says, how did it go? Ruth explains everything to her, shows her this gift of grain. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, gives her wisdom. What is her wisdom?
Wait.
Just wait. The King James says, sit still. She has confidence in Boaz. He believes that Boaz is going to resolve it in her favor, and God's hand is at work, but the answer is wait. Well, next week, we're going to resolve this whole thing. But all I can tell you is that faith is the answer. Faith is always the answer, and sometimes you have to wait. Especially when it comes to love and romance and relationships, there's going to be plenty of surprises, but we have to live in a continual state of trust. Love has a plan. Sometimes it's not the way we plan it, but we still have to be honorable. We have to be willing to wait. That's how God's will is sometimes. God stands outside time, and doesn't it seem like God takes forever sometimes, right? I mean, why are we waiting? But He's perfect. And so often the answer is wait on the Lord. Waiting is not a bad word. We're not just talking about relationships. We're talking about every area of our life. God doesn't operate on our schedule. He doesn't operate according to our plans. He doesn't operate according to our desires. We have to wait on a test result. We have to wait on an answer to prayer. We have to wait on a concern or problem that we have. Faith involves, so often it involves, waiting. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more mature we are, the more we're going to realize that we're in for a lot of waiting, because that's what faith is at times. We think we know what's best. We have it all planned out. But God knows what's best. Are we trusting Him? Are we waiting? Let me give you a good summary here on how to look at this whole thing. Whatever the problem is, pray and wait and stay faithful. Pray and wait and stay faithful. Pray and wait and stay faithful. Don't give up on number three. Stay faithful, even when it's hard. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law. Jesus came to us at the perfect time. It was love's perfect plan. God had a plan, and He sent Jesus. So that's how we were saved. But God has we have our own stories about God's love. If you're a Christian, then what you can do is think back over your life, and you can remember the time when you realized God loved you. There was a point in there. God had been working on trying to show His love to you for ever since your birth. He was working on you. He was showing you all of His love, trying to get you to trust Him. And there was a point in which a Christian says, oh, I notice that God loves me. Oh, I notice that I'm full of sin. And we love Him back. But He pursued us. He came to us. So when we come to our time of decision, what we're really saying is I'm giving up, and I'm letting You, God, I'm letting You take the lead in my life. I'm letting You make the decisions. I'm letting You handle everything because I love You. You've loved me before I was even born. Now I'm going to love You and give You my life. Beautiful song of invitation. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. It's like a story. We all have a story Do you have a story to tell about your life and how God forgave your sin? That's our invitation today.